Hello, it's great to be back with you today and to have the opportunity to share from God's Word and to lead you in the Sacrament of Communion. We're thinking about a passage today in Numbers chapter 6, but before we do that, let's come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, as we think about these words written so long ago, but words that speak to us today, words that your Holy Spirit uses to move us and inspire us and lead us closer to you, we ask that you would open our eyes, open our ears, that you would help us to encounter you and to be changed by you today. We ask that you would be honoured, that you would be glorified, and that you would lead us to where you would have us go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned a moment ago, we are in Numbers chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you're to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." Amen. I think it's fair to say that many of us are going through a tough time at the moment. I know in my dealing with people as a minister, I've lost count of the number of phone calls or emails that I've had where normally resilient people are sharing with me, "Alistair, I'm finding lockdown 3 really tough." I think we'll all acknowledge that there are times and moments where we felt that way too. Whether it's down to the weather, whether it's down to the distance that is now in place between us and many of our family and friends, whether it's between Zoom fatigue or YouTube fatigue or whatever else, there are lots of things that could cause us to be discouraged. And it's in that context that God has placed the word blessing on my heart. It's been rattling around there for the last, month or so. And this is the first opportunity that I've really had to use it, really had to share it. Blessing, it's such a powerful word, such an important word in the experience of God's people. And I worry that we've put that to one side, or we've forgotten the power at work within us that is greater than anything that is out there in the world. For a trite example, I look back over the last year, and while in the past, lots of people have signed off emails to me with the words "God bless" or some sort of variation upon that theme, over the last wee while, that's all been replaced by "stay safe." Now, on one level, I don't mind. The words "stay safe" show a real element of care for me and for my family, that people wish us well and wish us not to catch the coronavirus. I wish that you all stay safe and stay well. But you know what? I also wish that the people went back to signing off their emails to me with the words "God bless." Because there is nothing more powerful in the world than God's blessing upon us. These are powerful words of prayer that we as God's people have the ability to claim for ourselves and also to bless other people with. Are we doing that? At the beginning of this year, we're still in January, so I'm going to claim it's the beginning of this year. Are we blessing those around us? And are we claiming God's blessing for ourselves? To say "God bless," those are words that make the devil shudder. Words that make the world shake. I remember years ago watching a programme on a Saturday night where the host was doing all manner of silly things, and then at the end of the night, signed off with the words, "Good night and God bless." They didn't mean anything to him. But the scary thing is that he was dealing with the most powerful words that many of us can use. As we turn to this passage, I want to begin with the bit of the passage that surprised me. These are words that in my context I've used so often, whether it's in terms of singing it over someone that has been recently baptised, whether that was a child or an adult, or over the course of this last year, listening to those words being sung as part of the song The Blessing, or even singing them themselves as they've been part of church services. It's been amazing to do that. I've had an amazing experience with these verses. But that said, I read them this week and saw something that I'd never seen before. The fact is that when we look at them, the ultimate blessing that God intends his people to have is a blessing of his presence with them. Look with me at the final verse there, verse 27. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. The image that popped into my head when I first read those verses was from the film Toy Story. You know how each of the toys there have the name of their owner, Andy, written on their foot. And throughout the film, it keeps coming back to that important point that they belong to Andy. They are his. And that sums up so much of their identity. But you know what? God has done more than that. On first level, that's what it looks like he's saying. But in the Bible, when we hear and see God say, "My name," he's actually talking about every part of who he is, his character, his plans, his purposes. If we were even just to look at the name the Lord, we realise from Moses' encounter with God in Exodus chapter 3 that the word Lord is literally the God who is, that I am God. That is to say, God is real, he was, is and will be, he is constant and true. And from that root, so many other names of God arose. The God who provides, the God who rescues. We could lose count, actually, of all the different names of God. So when we remember that, just as we remember that when we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we're not praying that God's name would be recognised or with us. We're actually praying when we say, "Hallowed be your name," that God would be glorified, that he would be thought of as holy. And when we're seeing that in relation to the words here, we're praying a blessing that people would have God present with them, that God wouldn't be off at a distance, that as this name of God is bound upon his people, as it's said to them three times, and we'll come back to that, that God himself is with them. They belong to him and he belongs to them. It's not a complete comparison or an equal of two opposites, but it is a mutuality. We belong to him and he belongs to us. I am his and he is mine. And that's a staggering blessing. It's a life-changing blessing. And we need to ask ourselves, are we aware of the presence of God with us? Are we aware that we can claim that as a blessing from this passage and pray it into the lives of others? One of the scariest things about the pandemic over the last year or so now is that so many people have tried to approach it without God as part of the equation. And that includes at times some Christians. What makes a difference in our lives is the presence of God with us. It is a blessing to have God with us and on our side. And the challenge for us is, are we aware of that? Are we aware of God with us as we face the challenges around us? Or are we still busy trying to do them and face them on our own? Here we see something amazing, as I said, about the three repetitions of the word the Lord. On one level, there's a Hebrew grammar to this. I didn't study Hebrew grammar, so apologies if I'm getting this completely wrong. But one of the things I learned was that when you wanted to say that something was particularly fine or excellent, so for example, if you were talking about pure gold, the way in Hebrew to do that would be to say the word gold twice. So you would call it gold, gold. So, for example, when you talk about God from Isaiah chapter 6 as being holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and variations on that theme, you're saying that God is completely and utterly holy. Pure and holy God, are you completely and utterly? There is no unholiness within you. threefold repetition kind of sums up that God has given his fullness to us. He's not holding anything back, and that is a real blessing. There's also hints about the Trinity ahead of time. So the question for us is, God has offered himself to us. Are we clinging on to him at this time? Because he is the one we need, and he is the one who makes a difference in our lives. That is the ultimate blessing, but let's look briefly at the three other blessings that we discover here in the Aaronic blessing about God. What does God offer us? Verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. This first verse has this prayer that God would bless his people with salvation, that he would bless them with his salvation. With the word the Lord bless you and keep you, there's this image of keeping us safe. Now, we know from a human perspective that God's people are not spared anything that everyone else in this world experiences. We go through hard times. There are struggles ahead of us all. We're not spared the effects of coronavirus or any other illness for that matter. But we are held in the palm of God's hand. We are, as Deuteronomy talks, in the apple of his eye, in that place of love. And ultimately, God does keep his people. He holds us into all of eternity, spares us from the second death, and leads us to that place where we will praise him forever as we live our lives in that new creation. God is in the habit of saving his people. And I know, as I preach here, that I can look back in moments in my life where I've offered a prayer and God has spared me from a situation, has removed it from me and led me somewhere else. There have been other points in my life where God has just saved me without me even knowing it at the time. And then it's only afterwards I go, oh wow, God did that. And I know that that will be the case for others of you too. When we get to the New Testament, we discover all manner of different ways about the Bible expressing that God has saved us in terms of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. But he is saving us each and every day as he leads us through temptations, as he protects us from evil and transforms us into the people that he's calling us to be. And he will save us on the final day. Because when God starts something, he finishes it. There's the blessing of knowing God's salvation, of being kept safe by him. The second blessing that we see in the main body of the Aaronic blessing is the blessing of God's smile. Let's look at verse 25 rather. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. God blesses us with his smile. I don't know if you've ever tried to make someone smile. It may be that they're looking angry at you or whatever else, but it can be a bit of a challenge. Let's get a smile or laugh. Just that sense sometimes of when we've been with a teacher or someone like a boss over us of wanting to make them happy by doing a good job. There's a worry. When it comes to God, King of Heaven, what can we ever do to make him happy? Well, the Bible tells us here that God wants us to be blessed with his favour, to be blessed by his smile. That's an amazing, amazing thing to hold out to us, isn't it? That God loves us and he wants to look at us in delight. I've mentioned that picture of the apple of the eye. In the apple of the eye, it's something that matters so much to the person whose eye that is. And we're in that position for God. Would you be blessed with God's smile? I want you to know that blessing today. I'm praying that for you. However you're feeling, would you know that God is looking at you and smiling here and now? There may be aspects in your life that you know don't make God too happy. But he also loves you with an unconditional love and wants to help you in those areas of your life. God is smiling at you. He wants you to know just how much he loves you and how much he wants to work out his plans and purposes in your life with you. That is such a prayer, such a big blessing to pray into your own life and into others. And what's the final thing in verse 26? The Lord will turn his face towards you and give you peace. Now I'm going to cheat. I could just stick with peace because I had presence at the beginning, but I'm going to go for shalom. Because that's the Hebrew word, and I think that encapsulates far more of what God is doing with his people. It's not that just a sense of not being at war. It's that sense of everything being right in the world. In the New Testament, God talks about the fact that he wants us to be ministers of reconciliation. That is to say, we want to be bringing everything back under God's control and back to the place that it should be. Even this week, I was reading the account of a Christian who's going through a hard time. It's context of bereavement. And they say they have never known such peace as that which was given to them during this time. God wants us to be blessed with his peace. Peace that is beyond understanding. He wants us to be blessed with this shalom. More than just absence of war. Complete and utter peace with him, with each other, with the world. This prayer of blessing is massive. A blessing that we would know God with us, because he is. That we would know his salvation at work in our lives. That we would know that we are his in that sense too. That we would know his smile upon us, and that we would know his shalom before us and with us and for us. So the question for each and every one of us is, do we know that today? Are we living it today? Are we praying it into our own lives? And are we praying it for others? Let's pray that we would know God's blessing. Let's pray that others would know his blessing too. As we come to celebrate communion, let us pray. Lord God, we do thank you for the blessing that you hold out to each and every one of us. That is an offer to anyone in this world. This invitation ultimately to come and know you. We do thank you for this blessing that you want to hold out to us. This blessing that you would be with us. That your name would be upon us. But that name represents all that you are. Lord, we ask that you would help us to open up our lives to you. That you would help us to live for you. Help us not to be distracted. Help us not to think about our hopes, dreams and expectations, our worries and our fears, without putting you into the equation. Lord, we ask that you would help us to live as people who know that you are with us. We ask too that you would help us to remember the blessing of your salvation. We thank you that you have saved us, and you are saving us, and you will save us. We thank you that in so many ways that is captured in this image of communion. The Lord Jesus, who died for us, who rose again for us, who ascended to heaven and is coming back for us. Lord, we pray too, asking that you'd help us to know the blessing of your smile upon us and for us. Help us to remember that we are loved by you with an everlasting love, an unconditional love. We're sorry for those times that our love is weak or feeble. We ask that you take the little love that we have and grow it, amplify it, lift it up and transform us as we live for you. And Lord, we thank you too for that promise of this blessing of peace or shalom. Lord, we want everything to be right with the world and with us and with you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would be working that out. We thank you for the message that is proclaimed through communion. This unity that you desire with us and this unity that you desire that we have with each other. So we ask that you would send your love to bind us and lift us. Lord God, we do want to thank you for the elements that have been prepared, for the juice, for the bread, for whatever we have managed to source. Lord, we set it apart from ordinary use to be used for this holy purpose. We ask that you would send a blessing upon it, that you would send your Holy Spirit upon it and upon us, so that when we take and eat, when we drink, we would be encountering our Lord Jesus Christ by faith. We pray, Lord, that we would have a spiritual encounter with you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we read from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians even, chapter 11 at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink of it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We have been immensely blessed by God. He holds out these amazing blessings to us and for us. And we claim them through faith. We claim them through prayer. We claim them for others as we pray them too. So let's come and share this amazing meal that speaks of God's presence with us, that speaks of his love for us, that speaks of his amazing peace. I have over here some bread. You please take whatever you have to eat and break it. If there's anyone with you, share it with them. Take and see that the Lord is good. Eat of it and taste the Lord's goodness. I also have here some juice. Juice to represent the wine, which in turn was to represent the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for us. Let's drink whatever we have, and let's remember the blood that was shed for us so that we might know Christ's blessing, so we might know God's blessing. The blood of Christ shed for us. And let us pray. Lord God, we do praise and thank you for your sacrifice, for the body that was broken, for the blood that was shed, and for the fact it is all for us. We ask, Lord, that you would encourage us to see the blessings that are open before us and to claim them through you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.